Now that brings us to chapter 2. And here you have the apostasy brought in by false teachers. Now this is a very important section, and I mentioned centrifugal force. Now let's talk about centripetal force. That is the force that impels toward the world today. It pulls in toward the world. It's a gravitational force today. And it is the pull of the world away from the Word of God. Now he begins like this. And the days that he's talking about have now come upon us. I read verse 1. He says here, but there were false prophets also among the people. Now, who is he writing to? Jewish Christians, and he's talking about Israel. There were false prophets also among the people of Israel, even as there shall be false teachers among you, that is, believers today in the church, who secretly shall bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, this is very important here. He says there were false prophets in the Old Testament, but they're false teachers today. And friends, we do not need to beware of false prophets at all. Any man that attempts to prophesy today, he'll soon be proven a liar. No question about that. During World War II, we had a man here in Pasadena predicted the end of the world would come, I think, on September the 15th, 1943. And when that day came around, reporters filled his yard and waited. And he had to come out at the end of the day and said he'd misfigured it. It would be September the 15th, 1944. Well, they were all back again the next year. Well, a great many ministers in Pasadena got excited at that time, those of us that met together in a prayer fellowship, and they wanted to get a statement out to the paper. And I said, forget it, as far as I'm concerned. I said, on September the 15th, 1944, he'll be a liar. And, you know, the world didn't come to an end. And what happened was, the reporters laughed, ridiculed him, and it hurts the cause of Christ today, of course, when anyone does that sort of thing. But the man disappeared from this area, and I don't know where he is today, but he may be out somewhere else predicting the future. Well, we don't have to pay any attention to false prophets. Well, let me say this to you. You need to check false teachers, and you need to check all teachers, including the one you're listening to right now. I urge people to check what we say by the Word of God. Don't believe it because McGee says it. One man wrote in, he says, I teach a Sunday school class, and anybody asks me about what I say, well, McGee says it. I said, you got the wrong approach, brother. Don't do it that way. The Word of God is what you rest upon. And I'm amazed today how easily people are taken in, why they fall for anything. And if you don't believe it, come to Southern California. Now, we have very modest headquarters here. They're adequate for us, and we thank God for them. He's been good to us. But you ought to go and see the headquarters and the operation of some of the cults in Southern California. My friend, you'd be amazed. It reveals that a great many people today are not following this injunction that false teachers are abroad, and they listen to them. Some wag has put it like this. Little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty oceans and the beauteous land. So the daily pressures, subtle though they be, serve to shape the oddballs we call you and me. So that today, we oddballs down here, we are really taken in. Beware of false teachers. Now we have a more sure word of prophecy that's more reliable in your eyes or your ears. I was at the Parthenon, the ruins of it, there on the Acropolis in Athens, Greece, and I always examine this to make sure I'm accurate about it, and that is that there's not two parallel lines in the place. There's not a straight line in the place. If you go at one end and you look down, you'll see it comes up to a hump in the middle and then goes back down. The Greeks learned that the human eye never sees anything straight that is straight. And that's the reason I think God says to us we're to walk by faith and not by sight. After all, you can't even trust your own eyes, can't trust your own ears, but you can rest upon the Word of God. And the great proof that this is the Word of God is the fact of fulfilled prophecy. Now, over one-third of the Scripture was prophetic when it was first written. And it's not to be treated as speculation or superstition because of the fact that it has been literally a great deal of it fulfilled. Every 21 verses of Scripture is prophetic. And someone has said prophecy is the mold in which history is poured. Now, fulfilled prophecy is, to me, one of the great proofs of the accuracy of Scripture. We have a more sure word of prophecy. That's what Peter says back here in the first chapter. And one-fourth of prophecy is fulfilled. That is, one-fourth of one-third of the Bible is fulfilled prophecy. And man can't guess like this. You see, there are 330 prophecies in the Old Testament concerning the first coming of Christ. They were all literally fulfilled. Now, would you look at that for just a moment? Man can't guess that accurately. I might say to you today, I'd say it's going to rain tomorrow. Now, I stand a 50-50 chance of being right because it's either going to rain or it's not going to rain. But according to the law of compound probability, I could be 50% right. Now, I might stand a pretty good chance. Now, suppose, though, that I say it's going to start raining at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's added another uncertain element. Now I only stand one-fourth of a chance. Now suppose I say it's going to stop raining at 2 o'clock. And that adds another uncertain element. And now that has to be divided. And I stand now 12.5% chance of being right. Now you add 330 of those, friends, and see where you come out. Why, actually, you'd never have a chance of it being right at all. And that's the reason that some of the so-called prophets today, every now and then, they hit it. But these so-called prophets even today miss it. They miss more than they hit. And in Israel, a false prophet was stoned to death. If what he prophesied didn't come to pass, they just stoned him to death. That ended his career as a prophet. Well, here you have a book, and here you have fulfilled prophecy, and you can't gainsay that type of an argument. On the basis of that now, he says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Now, there were not only true prophets who prophesied, but we know that there were false prophets among the people at the time that Ahab and Jehoshaphat went out against the Syrians. You will recall that they called in a bunch of the false prophets of Baal, and they urged Ahab to go. And Jehoshaphat saw immediately they weren't getting a word from God, and he says, don't you have a true prophet of God here? And he said, yes, I keep him though in prison because he never says anything good about me. A great many people don't like a preacher unless he just says something nice about them all the time. Well, that was Ahab. And this prophet Micaiah just told him the truth. So they brought him in, and he told him, he says, if you go to battle, you'll be slain. And Ahab turned to Jehoshaphat and says, see, he never says anything good about me. Well, it's too bad Ahab didn't listen to him, because he was slain just as Micaiah said he would be. But there happened to be several hundred false prophets that were there. Now, he says here, Peter does, but there were false prophets also among the people, that is, the people of Israel, even as there shall also be false teachers among you. And Dr. Vinson, in his very fine word study, says that this word for false teachers, which is pseudo-didaskaloi, this is the only place that it occurs in the New Testament, false teachers. Now, false teachers are what the church is to beware of. And as we said last time, we don't need to pay any attention to a false prophet. He's out of business the minute that you get around to the fulfillment of his prophecy. And you can pay no attention to false prophets. But false teachers are the danger today. And believe me, they are dangerous. Now, what is a false teacher? Well, let me give this definition. A false teacher is one who knows the truth, but he deliberately teaches lies for some purpose, either for some selfish reason, or he wants to please people, or he does it for money. And there are many that are like that today. They preach and say what people want them to say. And they're false teachers. And some of them know what the truth is. Now, that is a false teacher. Now, a man that does it ignorantly, and some of the great reformers of the past and the post-apostolic fathers, many of them believed and taught some things that we do not hold to today. We believe they were entirely in error on those things. Now, they were not false teachers. They believed they were teaching the truth. A false teacher knows what he's doing, and he does it deliberately. Because he goes on to say here, even as there shall be. Now, Peter puts it out yonder in the future because it would be beyond his death. Jude will cover very much the same ground here. And by the way, the very fact that Peter and Jude are so much alike has caused some of the critics to say one copied from the other. Let me state it a little different way. When God wants to emphasize something, he says it twice. And that's the reason when the Lord Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, one verily is enough from him." But when he says it twice, you better sit up and listen. And so here, this is something that God considers rather important. But Jude says they're already false teachers. So they came into the church quite early, by the way. And they've been in it ever since. False teachers among you who secretly shall bring in actually destructive heresies. Now, the thing that actually identifies them is that they deny the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, I think that you have here in this verse a good definition of false teachers. They will appear in the church as members of the church. They will claim to be Christians. And they worked secretly under cover of hypocrisy. I heard recently of a church that many years ago was a very fine, fundamental church. I preached in that church, and the people loved the Word of God. Well, they called a man to that church, and they questioned him about whether he believed the Scriptures or not, whether he believed in plenary verbal inspiration. And he agreed to every question they asked. And I was in that city, I won't say where it is, after that, about 2 years after that. And, the members had scattered. They were going to other churches. And they said, "This man, absolutely, he misrepresented." That's what the nicer people said. And some said, "He lied to us." Well, that's exactly what he did. He came in, actually, and was a hypocrite. He said one thing, and he actually believed another. Now, they have some true doctrine. There's not a cult that I know of that does not have some truth in it. That's the thing that makes it very dangerous, that makes it 10,000 times more dangerous than if it was 100% in error. And these teachers generally believe some things that are true. And our Lord identified them as wolves in sheep clothing. And Paul, you remember, told the church in Ephesus, he says, "I know that after my decease that there will come in among you wolves in sheep clothing, and they will absolutely destroy the flock, scatter the flock." Now, that is the thing that would happen. Our Lord made it clear when he gave a picture of the condition of the kingdom after his rejection and crucifixion and resurrection. He would not establish it then, but the kingdom of heaven would be like a sower It would be like a mustard tree, and it would be like leaven. And leaven has got in today to the bread. The bread is the Word of God, and there's a lot of false teaching that goes out in that way. Now, these false teachers, they do it for a purpose, of course.